Welcome, everyone, to Russ Gounsell Chronicles of the End Times. I hope you're doing well today. Today, we're going to continue our discussion and our study in the principalities and powers in spiritual warfare. We hear a lot about spiritual warfare in these days, but what are the secrets of it? Many people believe that we should be casting out demons and commanding princes of darkness in different areas to be banished, and there's a lot that needs to be learned on this subject, and there is certainly many books and many podcasts done on it. But I think the most important part that we have to remember is our mission, that coming against spiritual forces is just part of what we are supposed to be doing. Jesus set the example for us, and his number one priority was reaching people and talking to them in love and in truth about the Word of God and about what they need to do in order to be saved, in order to be free from the wrath that is coming. That was Jesus' mission. Yes, and if there were people that were sick, he prayed for them and they were healed. If there were demons to be cast out that were in his way, that he bound those demons and cast them out. But he didn't go looking for them. They pretty much found him, and they come across him in his travels. And just like Paul, he did the same thing. He didn't go looking for them, but if they presented a problem, and he was led by the Spirit, he cast them out and bound them. So a scripture we have heard many times in Ephesians chapter 6. Who are these principalities and powers that we read about? Paul talks about the armor of God, and he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Who are these spiritual beings? The Bible tells us there are many gods. There is only one true God, one almighty God. But there are smaller gods. And the Lord is very specific from the very beginning in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall serve no other gods. You shall worship no other gods. So are these gods just made up gods? Are they just these images that we see in the Old Testament that have been made out of stone and wood that Israel worshipped and they declared them to be gods? Or are they really spiritual beings? Fallen angels, demons, what are they? And why was God so specific about it? And he said, you shall not serve other gods. The spiritual world is real. And God stands in the council of all these spiritual beings. We see that in a couple different examples. It is plain to see in Job, when all the sons of God come before the Lord. And that's when Satan comes before the Lord. Let's take a look at that in the book of Job, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6. One day the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. So we know that God sits among the angels, and these angels are different powers, right? They're different levels of power. We see that. There's archangels. And there's lesser angels, and that's how God has worked it out. God is the author of government. You know, we might think we are the author of government, but God is the author of government, and he set a government in place in the heavenlies. That's how he operates. Like, God can rule by himself. We only see through a glass darkly, as Paul said, but God is the Almighty God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But God chooses to use others. He chooses to create other beings. He chose to create angels, how the government is laid out in that spiritual realm, just as he decided to create you and I, human beings, because he wanted to share his power. He wanted to share the glory of God. He wanted us to enjoy his fellowship. And he delegates who does what and what powers are given and what jobs are there to be done. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam had a job to do. It wasn't like he was sitting in a hammock all day long and just enjoying the breeze, talking to the animals. He had a job to do. And that's the way it's going to be for us in the kingdom that's coming. Yes, we will have glorified bodies, and we won't have to get weary and tired and frustrated and all those things. They will all disappear. But we'll have tasks to do. This is God's government. This is how he sets things up. So he created that in the heavenly realms as well. But as we know, there was a rebellion. And these same creatures, these same heavenly beings that God created, these supernatural beings, God didn't take their power away when they rebelled. We can see that through the scriptures. And this is what Paul's talking about when he's talking about principalities and power in heavenly realms. They are influencers over the world. That's the way it is right now. But we're going to look at what Jesus did to that in this podcast today. But let's look at another scripture that talks about the assembly or the council of God. And that's Psalm 82, verse 1. It says, God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. So there is an assembly around God that he has created. Some of it has fallen away, and some of it has become very evil and destructive. Hundreds of thousands remain in this government that God's created. His creation is shared. God is love. Even at this early stage of creation, which we have not witnessed, but we shall witness in the future. God is a sharer. He loves people. He loves what he creates. And he doesn't just garner everything for himself. He wants to share it. He wanted to share it with Adam and Eve. He wants to share it with us in the future. And he's also shared it with his heavenly beings. But he gets very disgusted with them in this psalm. Now, many believe he's talking to the fallen ones, the ones that he's created, and they have territories over the earth. And we see this in Daniel. So we're going to look at Daniel in a little bit, but let's read the rest of this psalm. How long will you defend the unjust, show partiality to the wicked, defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless, maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked? They know nothing, they understood nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High God. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. God is talking to the fallen ones that he's created. And even though he's given them territories to rule over, they're not ruling over them the way they're supposed to. There are different ways to interpret this. Many believe he's just talking to Israel. He's talking to the rulers and the princes. And he's talking to the rulers of the world in human form. But we know from Daniel that there are definite princes. There are definite powers that have been assigned to different territories or different countries. And there are different levels of this spiritual government. Let's take a look at Daniel chapter 10, beginning with verse 12. He continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." Then we're going to jump ahead to verse 20. "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. Then, when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth." So in this scripture, we see that there are battles between angels. There are battles between principalities and powers, good and bad. Now, God could intervene, right? And he could just wipe everything away. But that's not what he does. That's not how he runs his kingdom. There are some things that are difficult for us to understand. But this is pretty clear. We see that this angel was held and he battled the king of Persia. Now, we know that a human cannot battle an angel. We see in 2 Kings chapter 19 that an angel goes out and kills 185,000 of the Assyrian army. So we know this is a spiritual battle that he's talking about. So there are definite territories. We can see that. He talks about the prince of Greece. He talks about these different territories and those that rule over them. And you could ask the question, why doesn't God just wipe them out? Why does he allow that to take place? But in reality, in the spiritual realm, for you and I, he did. Let's look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament. Not only did Jesus save us through his precious blood and through his sacrifice on the cross, but he also tore down the powers of these principalities. He took away their authority. Said he forgave us our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The Lord, Jesus Christ, took down these authorities. He took down these powers. Yes, they still exist and they still influence this world. But for you and I, those who are blood-washed, born-again Christians, he has given us the authority. So they do not have authority over those who follow Christ. So why is it important that we know this? Well, we know that the scripture clearly says that if they had known who they were crucifying, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. What does that mean? The Romans? The Jews? Possibly to some degree? But he's talking about the spiritual forces. If they had any idea what was going to happen to them through the cross, they would have never, ever let it happen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. After Satan had deceived Adam and Eve, and God dealt with them, he then turned to the serpent, and he said, "Cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." How powerful is this scripture? Even though they crucified the Lord, in those moments of darkness when the enemy was celebrating what they thought was a great victory, they had only bruised his heel through the crucifixion. But he, through the resurrection, was going to crush their heads. They were going to lose their authority, the authority they had lorded over the world for years and years. But now Jesus Christ came into this world. He came to free us from sin and from bondage, from captivity. But then he also handed us the keys of the kingdom. And it's important for us to know what those are. Let's look at the Great Commission, as we call it, in Matthew chapter 28. Let's pick it up. Matthew 28, verse 16 to the end. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is so revealing in the spiritual world. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." By who? By his Father. You might say, well, Jesus is God. He's one with the Holy Spirit and the Father. But how can this be? But that's not the way God does things. He sent Jesus into the world for this reason. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, start with verse 18. "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man the many will be made righteous." So because of that, all authority had been given to him by the Father, so it could be transferred to you and I. Jesus did it all through his precious blood and through his resurrection, through his obedience, and through the great love that the Father and he and the Holy Spirit had for his creation. Jesus came into the world to save the world from sin because God so loved the world. And those who decide to follow him, he wanted them to understand, "This is why I came. The Father has now given me all authority, all over everything, heaven and earth, everything in between is now mine. I have this authority and I am disarming." Like the scripture said, made an open show of these demonic powers in high places. He broke them. He broke the chain. And then he tells you and I, he said, "This is what I want you to do. I'm not interested in having you running around casting out demons and looking around the corner for every devil. But what I am concerned about and what I want you to do is to go make disciples, because that is the treasure of God. You and I are the treasure of God. God doesn't need a galaxy made of gold or platinum. What does that mean to him? Nothing. But what his treasure is, you and I are his treasure, is redeemed. They're the ones, we are the ones that God loves, that God wants to share his whole kingdom with. He wants to share everything that he has with us. For he tells us we're going to rule and reign with him. That is almost ridiculous when you think about who we are and what we are. But he's decided, yes, you accept me, you follow my word, and I'm going to bless you more than you can ever imagine. And so what should we take from all this? These principalities and powers and all the things that God reveals to us about these demon princes and all these things, where do they get their power from now? From their followers. What good is a general if he has no army? These dark forces need an army, and they have one. They have the unsaved of the world that they're influencing and they're using against Christians, against God's principles, against God's laws, against who God is. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is where we're going to end on this podcast, and remind ourselves again what we're supposed to be doing. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's the key. That's the key. Those last few lines. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. This is what the enemy wants to tear down. He wants to keep people from the knowledge of God. He wants to keep people from the word of God. Like in the last podcast, we talked about Josiah. And when the king heard the word of God that had been buried in the temple, tucked down under the rubble, covered in dust, forgotten about. When the high priest came and brought it and they read it, he ripped his clothes. The word of God is revealing. The word of God is powerful. It cuts to the marrow of the bone, the scripture says. It gets right to the point, right to the heart. And this is our job. Our job is not necessarily casting out demons and binding spirits. Our job is to take the treasures away from the enemy. That's how you reduce his power. That's how you reduce the principalities and powers of this world to nothing, is by taking their treasure, taking their armor, taking their soldiers away, taking their followers away that they have brainwashed. That's our job. Our job is to go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. I hope this has been a blessing to you, give you a little more understanding of our job and what the principalities and powers are in this world that we're living in. This is Russ Scalzo for Chronicles of the End Times. God bless. Keep looking up. The King is coming.